Okay, wow. Thank you everybody for your patience. As my connection kept going out, I've changed locations, so hopefully that will be better. As they say, shinui makom, shinui mazel. Hopefully this will be a better spot for internet connection, and you won't be left hanging. Okay, so I don't know what was the last thing everybody heard. We got one good name. We got Chag Matan Torah. Zman Matan Torah Seinu. I'll try not to torture everybody. The other ones are, of course, Shavuot, Chag HaShavuot, the Festival of Weeks, that name we spoke about last year. We have Chag HaKatzir, the time of the harvest, Yom HaBikurim, the time that we bring the first fruits up to Yerushalayim. Those names, Shavuot, Chag HaKatzir, Yom HaBikurim, those are all names that are found in the Chumash itself. The two that we see from Chazal, one was the one that Gershon mentioned, the one that we see in the Siddur, but it's the time of giving of the Torah. The other one that Chazal like to use, our sages like to use all throughout the Talmud, is Atzeret. Okay, and Atzeret comes from the word to stop. The simple reason why it's called Atzeret is because it's a Yom Tov, and unlike other Yomim Tovim, like other festivals, there's no clear, outward expression. There's no mitzvahs that we're doing to sort of see that it's a Yom Tov, like the shaking of the lulav or the blowing of a shofar, sitting in a sukkah, eating matzah. And the one thing that we do see on Shavuot is that we stop, right? And that's the concept of Atzeret. That's the basic idea. But hopefully, if there's time towards the end, we'll get into a deeper concept as maybe what's called Atzeret. Also because it's connected to Pesach. Pesach begins a period of counting 49 days, and it ends, it stops, on Shavuot, on Atzeret. Okay, so the things that we all do on Shavuot, and we need to spend some time maybe giving some meaning to them, because there are a lot of things that we are excited to do on Shavuot that we know about. I think a lot of people are relieved that they've made it through Sfirat HaOmer, and hopefully they remembered every night to make a bracha, to make a blessing, or at least the following day. So there's a sense of relief at having made it through all 49 days of counting. We know that we get to stay up all night. That's very exciting for people to have a big Torah slumber party. They drink a lot of coffee. They eat a lot of cookies. We know that there's cheesecake involved. There's a lot of dairy and cheesecake. Hopefully during that period of staying up and eating cheesecake and drinking coffee, there's a lot of Torah learning that's happening. The following morning, those people who stayed up have a minhag of falling asleep during Megillas Rus, while they're reading Rus or Akdamos. There's a minhag to fall asleep during that. Many people don't even know that they read Megillas Rus on Shavuos because they're busy sleeping in their chair. Some people get excited to be the guy who did sleep, so he gets to make all the brachos for everybody in the morning. These are many of the customs that we know about on Shavuos. And yet, I want to focus on that one name that Gershon so fortuitously pointed out to us, which is Zman Matan Torah Seinu, the time of the giving of the Torah, and ask a question. I'll open it up for your answers. All these things that we've discussed, what do any of them have to do with that name of giving over of the Torah? Well, Gershon, you're muted.
Ooh.
There you go. I got you.
Okay. Maybe Shavuot, there's a period of time we waited until we got the Torah.
Yeah.
That might be an allusion to the idea of Matan Torah Tenu.
Of giving the Torah. But all the actions we do over the course of the night.
Oh, that? No.
What does it have to do with Matan Torah Tenu? Giving of the Torah. There's something very interesting. It's a sort of disparity. I just want to point it out. Is that we stay up all night and we learn Torah. And yet the name of the festival is not the night of receiving the Torah or the night of learning the Torah. It's the time that the Torah is being given. That seems to be the concept that we most have to connect to during this time, a time of Torah being given. And so then it's very strange, because if a Torah is being given, that means that we are passive participants in this affair. So why are we staying up all night and putting all our energy into learning all night long? Jim, you hear the question?
Yes. Can I answer? To show, demonstrate acceptance?
Well, if the essence of the night was to show acceptance or to accept, then seemingly it should have been called the time of receiving the Torah. Zman Kabbalat Torah Teinu, the time where we receive the Torah. All the focus is on the giving. Now, when we make the focus on the giving, right, and this is part of the challenge, it sounds like we are celebrating some sort of a historic event. And it's an idea that we repeat many times over, that Judaism does not care about history. We are not interested in historic events. Judaism is about your life right now. And so therefore, sometimes you have to speak about history, because it informs us how to live our lives. But the joke, possibly my least favorite joke, because it's not true, is, you know, they oppressed us, or they tried to kill us, we fought, let's eat. We're not celebrating historical victories. We don't care. The past is behind us. We care about the present. We care about what's happening right now. So the name of the Chag makes it sound like we're in a very neutral position. It's Zman Matan Torah Teinu. It's the giving of the Torah, which makes it sound as though the Torah is being given regardless of what we do. And yet, we know that we toil all night learning Torah, which is a very active participation in the entire event. Okay, that's the question I'm putting out there. If anyone has any more questions or comments they want to make on it, speak now, or for a little bit, hold your peace.
Maybe the giving is on condition of the earning. It is being given, but there's an assumption or an implied condition that we have to do something in order for it to be given to us.
That is nice. Thought. But as you know, Chazal, our sages, when they're teaching us ideas, their job is to be transparent and teach. And so therefore, if the name that they're giving it is a time of the giving of the Torah, it definitely sounds unconditional. This is what's happening tonight, regardless of you. Okay, so that's one of the thoughts that I've been thinking about, kicking around, and it also, just to connect it with another idea, the Medrash that many of us are familiar with, because the Magen Avraham quotes it in the Shulchan Aruch as to why we stay up all night and learning, right? We know that the Medrash tells us that the Jewish people slept on the night of Shavuos, and Hashem had to wake them up in the morning to receive the Torah. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, that we're doing a tikkun. We're trying to fix up the mistake that the generation of the desert made by sleeping through the night. Right? So we stay awake in order to correct that mistake. And the whole concept is very troublesome because, one, right, we know that the Jewish people were desperate to receive the Torah. They'd been working for 49 days to get the Torah. It's not that they had a lack of appreciation for the value of the Torah. They wanted Torah. They were excited for Torah. It was 49 days in the waiting to get the Torah. The second thing that bothers me is that they really wanted the Torah. Can we say with any feeling of authenticity that we somehow want it more than they wanted it? Is the fact that we stayed up all night and did our best to learn, is that somehow fooling Hashem that we care so much about the Torah more than the generation of the desert did? If a person doesn't learn Torah all year long and he stays up all night, are we tricking Hashem somehow to believe that we're masmidim, we're people who learn nonstop through the night without sleep or food? We know it's not true. What are we fixing up? What did they mess? How did they mess up? What did they mess up? And in what way are we actually somehow fixing that in a way which sounds true, that sounds authentic and real? It can be a learning opportunity, a springboard for us, as opposed to us sort of faking it, pretending like we're something that we're not, and feeling very proud of ourselves when the morning of Shavuos comes and we're napping happily during Megillas Rus. Okay, so that's the premise. That's the question. That's what was on my mind. And it intersected a Mishnah in Avos that I was recently learning with somebody, which is probably one of the most frightening Mishnayos you'll ever see. If you spend time thinking about it, I'm just going to mute everybody again, unless somebody has a question or a comment, let me know. So I tried to put it in the chat box to disastrous effect. Apparently it didn't work. But if you have the ability to try to look up the source, you can look it up. It's in Pirkei Avot, Ethics of Our Fathers, or literally the chapters of our fathers. This is in chapter 2, and we're in Mishnah 8, I believe. And sometimes they come out a little bit different in different ones, so you may have to fish around a little bit. So we're in Ethics of Our Fathers, chapter 2, Mishnah 8, and we're in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It's actually, we spoke about the second half of this Mishnah, around the time of Lag BaOmer, right before Lag BaOmer. But this is the introduction. So we get to meet Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It says, Kibel mihil u'mishamai. He received the oral tradition from his teachers, Hillel and Shammai. Hu haya omer. The one thing that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would always speak about, he lived it, he breathed it. This was his reality, right? When we see these Mishnahs in Pirkei Avot, it doesn't just mean they said it once. It means this was the motto, the ethos of this Tana's whole life. He was always teaching and living the following idea. Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Im lamadata Torah harbe. If you have learned a lot of Torah, al tachazik tova la'atzmecho. Okay, the literal translation is don't hold on to goodness for yourself. But outside of the Ramchal, I don't know that anybody learns these words literally. They learn them figuratively to mean don't take credit. Don't hold, meaning don't say that you've done something good, that you've accomplished something. If you learned a lot of Torah, don't be proud of yourself. Don't take credit for anything. Why not? Ki lokach notzarta. This was the purpose for which you were created. Okay, now for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I guess this would make sense. Certainly that this was his motto, certainly according to the first opinion that's brought in the Rabbeinu Yonah. This is also the way that Rashi explains it. Rashi and the Rabbeinu Yonah understand, at least the Rabbeinu Yonah's first understanding, is what it means is you learned a lot of Torah. Great. So what did you do? What did you learn? You learned Chumash. You learned all of Tanakh. You learned Mishnah. You learned all of Talmud, Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi. Are you done? Did you learn the Midrashim? Did you learn the Zohar? Did you learn Shulchan Aruch? Did you learn all of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch? There's no end to the amount of Torah that a person learns. The person should never feel, I've done it. I've reached the summit. I've learned so much Torah. Because you can always learn more. Okay, and that goes very well. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gemara tells us that he was constantly learning Torah. The words of Torah never left his lips. So that connects very much to his character. Second pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah, things get a little bit more. If that first one wasn't discouraging enough for you, the second one will surely do the trick. Second pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah is, if you learned a lot of Torah, don't take any credit, don't feel good about what you've accomplished. L'kach notzarta, that's what you were created for. Hashem literally created you to learn Torah. You've accomplished nothing. You've done exactly what Hashem put you in this world to do. And Rabbeinu Yonah brings a mashal, he brings an allegory, he compares it to someone who's in debt that just pays off their debt, right? Someone is all proud of themselves. Well, why are you so proud of yourself? Well, I owed someone $1,500, and guess what? I gave him $1,500. Well, yeah, that's what you owed him. Of course, you gave him the money. It's not an accomplishment. You don't have a choice. You owe someone money, you have to pay it off. So that's how Rabbeinu Yonah, in the second understanding of this idea, don't take credit, that's what you're created for. Don't feel like you've accomplished something. Hashem put you in this world to learn Torah. Now, this understanding gets expressed a little bit more clearly in the Maharal. So if you go to the Derech Chaim, which is the Maharal's commentary to Pirkei Avot. If you don't have one in your house, you can access it on Safaria, right? Safaria.com, or is it .org? I don't remember. But if you go to Safaria, S-E-F-A-R-I-A, you can access the Derech Chaim of the Maharal there. And the Maharal explains this Mishnah as follows. He says this idea in Rabbeinu Yonah is that basically everything in the world is built with a certain nature. All animals have a built-in instinct to eat, to sleep, to procreate, to defend themselves. Some of them do it in different ways. Birds have an instinct to fly. Fish have an instinct to swim. Human beings have an instinct to learn Torah. He says, it is in your teva. It is in your nature. You are a Torah learning machine. It's in your DNA. You understood it the second you came out of the womb. Therefore, just like no normal healthy person would go around telling people, oh, you know how great I am? You know what I accomplished today? I breathed. I drank something. I ate something. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is telling us. You learned a lot of Torah. Okay, great. That is exactly the function for which you came into the world. You did exactly what Hashem built you to do. Now, the second understanding leaves a lot to be desired, at least the way we're speaking it out right now, because Pirkei Avot, the whole function of those Mishnayot over there are to teach us how to become pious individuals. It's called Chasidut, how to go above and beyond the letter of the law in the way we live our lives, in the way we connect to mitzvot and to avodas Hashem, to serving God. What understanding in the ways of piety did we gain by being told, if you learn a lot of Torah, so what? That's what you're supposed to do. First of all, it doesn't sound very encouraging. But second of all, what are we grabbing onto? Where are we learning, understanding something that we can do in our day-to-day lives to become better, more fulfilled, more pious individuals? Okay, I'll just unmute everybody for a second. Questions, comments? No? Okay. So let's move forward. I believe one can get a tremendous insight into this idea, and hopefully everything we're talking about is going to be the centerpiece of our discussion, is the Talmud in Tractate Shabbat, Sabbath, Pei Chet Amud Beis to Pei Tes Amud Aleph, also known to some people as 88 Folio B and 89 Folio A. And over there, we have the following piece of Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says the following idea. And if you want to try, again, jump on any of the wonderful many sites on otzer.org or dafyomi.co.il or Safaria, grab a Gemara, Sabbath 88b to 89a. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, all the way at the bottom of 88b, says the following. All those Gemaras over there are all speaking about exactly what we're speaking about right now, which is the day that the Torah was given to the Jewish people. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, at the time that Moshe went up, Sha'ala Moshe l'Marom, Moshe went up to Marom, Moshe went up to the heavens, we're going to call it, for simplicity's sake, whatever that means. Amru Malachei Asharet Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angels said before God, Ribono Shel Olam, they said, my God, Mal Yilud Isha Beinenu, what is this one born of a woman doing amongst us? And all the insults here are very specific, and the Maral takes time explaining all of them. We're not going to do that, but one can. Amar Lahen, Hashem responds to the angels, L'kabel Torah, but what do you mean? He came to receive the Torah. Amru Lefanav, they responded before Hashem. Chamuda Gnuza, Shegnuza Lach Teshem Os V'Shivim V'Ar Badoras Kodem Shenivra Olam. This beautiful treasure, which you had hidden away for 974 generations before the world was created. What's the number 974? Because the Torah was given in the 26th generation from Adam, from the first man. So 1,000 minus 26 brings us to 974. Atame vakesh litna labasar vadam. What do you do? You're going to give the Torah, this thing that existed before the world even existed, you're going to give it to flesh and blood. Ma enosh kitizkerenu. What is a man that you should remember him? Uben Adam kitif kadenu, or a Adam that you should remember him. The two concepts of Enosh and Adam describe different aspects of a person, and Zechira and Pkida are two aspects of how or why we remember things. Okay, so again, we're not going into those specifics. They bring a verse because the Malachim know verses very well, better than Christian missionaries, and they say Ma Enosh Kitiz Karenu. Oh, we just did that. Hashem Adonenu Ma Adir Shimcha B'chol Ha'aretz. How great is your name in all of the land. Asher tencha hodcha el shamayim. You should give your glory to the heavens and not to the earth. Amar lo kodesh baruch hu lemoshe. Hashem says to Moshe, hachzir lahen tshuva. Why are you being silent? Respond. Give him an answer. Amar lefan of ribono shel olam, says Moshe, my God, mityareani shema yisrafuni behevel shebefiam. I'm petrified that they will burn me with the vapors that come from their mouth. Amar lo, Hashem says, achoz bekise kvodi, grab onto my throne of glory, v'chazor lahen tshuva, and you'll be able to respond to them. You'll give them an answer. Shene Amar, as it says in the verse, Hashem also knows verses very well. Ma'achez panai kise parshas alav anano. Okay, so there we need some help from Rabbi Nachum. He's going to give it to us in a second. Grab onto the face of the kise of the throne. Parshas, he parshazed onto him. We'll have to see what that is in a second. His cloud of glory. Parshas alav anano. Amar Rabbi Nachum, melamed shepirish shakai miziv shchinosoi v'anano alav. We see from here that Hashem puts over him the splendor of his shechina, of his presence, and his cloud. Again, two aspects of people. We're not going to get into it. Let's get to the meat of the story. Amar lefanav, says Moshe, Ribono shel olam, Torah shatanoten li maktiv ba. Hashem, this Torah that you are giving me, what is written in it? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. Amar lahen, Moshe says to the angels, Lemitraim yiradatem? Were you guys in Egypt? Lefaro hishtabditem? You were slaves to Paro? Torah lama te'alechem? Why should you get Torah? Shuv. Further, says Moshe, Maksiv, but what does it say? You should not have other gods. Ben Agoyim Atem Shruyin, do you live amongst the non-Jews? She'ovdin Avodah Zarah, that you have to worry about idolatry. Shuv, further, Maksiv, but what else does it say? Zachor Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, remember the holy day of Sabbath to sanctify it. You don't work, right? You guys don't have jobs. That you have to rest from your labors, right? You don't do creative labors that you have to stop from them. Sorry, find my place here. Shuv Maksiba, what else does it say? Lotisa, right? Masu Matan Yesh Benechem, do you have give and takes in business? Shuv Maksivba, Kavadas Avich Vesimecha, honor your parents. Avem Yeshlechem, do you have parents? Shuv Maksivba, what else is written? Lo Tzirtzach, Lo Sinaf, Lo Signov, don't murder, don't adulter, don't steal. Kina Yesh Benechem, do you guys have jealousy? Yetzirhara Yesh Benechem, do you have a Yetzirhara? Miyad Hodulu Akodesh Baruch Hu. Immediately Hashem agreed to what Moshe said, Shenemar, Hashem Adonenu Ma'adir Shimcha. This time, it doesn't say Ten Hodcha L'Shamayim. It's this verse later in Tehillim, right, just says how great is your glory in all the land without the aspect of giving your splendor in the heavens. Right? Ve'ilu Tnei Hodcha L'Shamayim Lo'ksiv. That part of the verse isn't mentioned. Miad kol echad ve'echad nase lo'ohev. All of a sudden, all the angels became beloved, or he became beloved unto them. Umaser lo davar, and they all gave him all sorts of things, secrets. Shene'emar, alita lemarum, you went up to the heavens. Shavita shevi, you took back booty. Lakachta matanos ba'adam, and you took gifts ba'adam. What does it mean, ba'adam, in the man? Beschar, as a reward, shekarucha Adam, that you're called Adam. Therefore, lakachta matanos, you took gifts. Okay, we see from here, even the angel of death gave Moshe something, v'yitin to Ktoris, he gave him the Ktoret, he taught him the secret that the Ktoret gives life. We see that later on when Aaron stops the Megefa, the plague, through the use of the incense. Okay, that is the story over there in the Gemara and Shabbat, 88 folio B, 89 folio A. And hopefully, after reading something like that, we have a lot of questions. Because we don't assume that, you know, this is some sort of a cartoon or one of the works of J.K. Rowling with magical beings, that Moshe flew up to some realm known as the heavens, where he interacted with these mythological angels and they got into a debate. So what exactly is happening and what are the concepts we're meant to take out of it? What changed for the angels? Moshe started to mention all of these concepts. He listed off the Ten Commandments and asked the angels how they, in what way they're connected to, relate to the Ten Commandments. But if the angels know verse so well, as we saw that they're excellent at scripture, how come they don't know the Ten Commandments? They don't know what it says. They don't know the Ten Commandments. They don't know that the Ten Commandments don't make sense for an angel. What was the whole deal with Moshe asking Hashem for help, Hashem telling him to grab onto the throne, right? Throne of glory. Why did all the angels love him at the end? Isn't it enough for them just to not hate him? Wouldn't that be good enough? So we're going to answer, hopefully, some of these questions. And by doing that, we are going to gain some insights into the questions that we opened the evening with. Okay. So the Maharal, discusses this Gemara in several places. We want to look at one source, which is the Maharal in Tiferet Yisrael, chapter 24, Kaf Dalet, where the Maharal is basically discussing all of these pieces of Talmud before and after the one that we just read. The whole, really all of Shavuot is right around there. And, okay, good. So the Maharal is coming to teach us one major idea, which we're going to use to understand the Mishnah and Pirkei Avot. We're going to use to answer our questions from earlier. And that idea is like this. First of all, anytime we see a medrash like this that talks about arguments between angels, right? Angels don't have arguments. Angels are merely catalysts for spiritual change and even for physical change between God and the lower worlds. They're not opinionated, they don't argue, and they don't change their minds. Moshe certainly did not go to a place, some physical space, which we can imagine, where he sat on the clouds wearing a toga and playing a harp. And there were no angels who floated down with wings who came to argue with him. Basically, whenever we have the concept of Amira, the way it's expressed in these Midrashim, like when the letter Aleph says to Hashem, why doesn't the creation of the world begin with me? Why doesn't your Sefer Torah begin with me? It's not that the tiny little letter Aleph jumps up and says it to Hashem. These are metaphysical realities. And metaphysical realities beg philosophical questions. the spiritual world, if man looks at the spiritual world and he understands what a spiritual world is, what it encompasses, he has to ask himself a very simple question. Where do I fit in a spiritual world? I'm a physical being. How can I receive a Torah which has the blueprints of all spirituality? I'm so lowly. This concept of Torah preceded the creation of the world. Torah comes directly from Hashem. It's Seichel Elyon. It's above human logic. You can put together all the greatest committees in the world, and they won't come to the same conclusions that the Torah comes to. Not about theft, not about murder, and certainly not higher concepts like kashrut or tuhumantara. These are concepts which are above human intellect. So a person can very much ask himself the question, even to himself, I have no shaychus, I have no connection, no relationship to Torah. Because Torah is a spiritual concept. It is a blueprint of spirituality. It existed before a physical world even existed. It comes from Hashem's mind, kiviyachol, whatever that means. And so therefore, I have no connection to it. This is the argument of the Malachim, as it were. It's the spiritual world's existence in itself is a contradiction to the notion that a man can receive Torah. So Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to grab onto the throne of glory and give them an answer. Why? Why can't Moshe just stand where he is and say what he needs to say? What does he gain? What difference does it make when he grabs onto the throne of glory? And when he tells them all these things of the Ten Commandments, what new piece of information is he adding? What's he saying to them? And why does he get all these rewards for being called Adam? What's the significance? So for those who have a little bit more background, know that there are images on the throne of glory. And again, there are no real images on the throne of glory, right? Hashem doesn't go looking for nice stickers on Amazon or at IKEA to, style his throne. But there are, the concept of the throne of glory is the place from which Hashem rules the world. That's the concept. Just like a king sits in his throne, this is the place from where Hashgacha, divine providence, comes into the world. And so therefore, we should not be surprised that below the Kisei HaKavod, below the chair, is the form, the vision, the concept of man, of Adam. The angels have no connection to the Kisei HaKavod. They go around the Kisei HaKavod. Hashem uses the angels to guide and steer the world. But man is under the Kisei. He is the source from which all these things emanate. That is to say, what Moshe was asking the angels when he asked them these questions, were you in Egypt? Were you enslaved? Certainly, the Torah does not manifest itself in the heavens the way it manifests itself for us. But the one thing which is clear is that the concept of Torah is to do mitzvot. Mitzvahs, God's commandments. That is to say, you have to be a physical being in order to carry out God's will. Why? Everything which is given, as Gershon pointed out at the beginning, needs someone to receive it. Man has an ability that nothing else in the entire universe has the ability to do. And that is to receive. What do I mean? I mean as follows. Animals are always animals. Their nature is their nature. They cannot change. A salamander will always be a salamander. And even if you promise him an entire buffet of mosquito eggs, he will not begin to act like an iguana. That's just not his nature. There's nothing he can do about it. You could teach him the ways of iguana, but it falls on deaf ear holes, because I don't think salamanders have ears. And that goes with every other animal in nature. Whatever you try to gift them, to give them, they cannot receive it, because an animal has one job and one job only. That's what we see in Parikshira, right? An animal will always be what it is. No more, no less. The same is true in the upper worlds by angels. Each angel has one mission that they do. That is to say, it is one expression of God's hashgacha, of Hashem's running of the world. An angel cannot receive something else without losing his essence or his entity. There's only one creation in all of the creation that can receive, and that is Adam. That, by the way, we could go to a few different explanations why this specific name, Adam, is so central in this piece of Gemara. But one of them is Adam is called Adam because he, because of the word Adama. He shares a root with the word Adama, soil. Soil is a completely useless currency. You cannot buy anything in the supermarket with a bag of soil. You can try it if you want. I don't think you'll be well received. But soil is not a currency. However, soil is one of the most valuable commodities in the entire planet. When you invest in it, when you work it, when you water it, when you sow it. That is to say, man is called Adam from the word Adama, because even though he is just a body, and a body doesn't have much value as far as spirituality is concerned, but he is fertile ground to receive things and to grow and to change and to give fruits. Moshe's response, meaning the metaphysical reality of mankind, is that they are a receiver. And the Torah, which was created 974 years before the creation of the world, Kodesh Baruch Hu Yistakel Baraisa, Kodesh Baruch Hu Yistakel Baraisa V'bara Alma, Hashem looks in the Torah and he creates the world. That is to say, Hashem wants a world of change, of giving, of growing, of elevation. And the only way he can do that, he looks in the Torah and he sees a man. Because there's nothing else in the creation that can do that. Not the animals and not the angels. So Moshe comes to the heavens. The Malachim say, what's he doing here? Hashem says he's come to get the Torah. That's man's connection to the heavens. There's a tool here, a vessel called Torah, which when he receives it, he's connected up to his image in the Kisei HaKavod. Hashem says, grab on, show them. And all the Malachim, when Moshe grabs onto the Kisei HaKavod, right? And of course, again, this isn't, these Malachim, it's not actually happening. They're not actually saying, oh, Did you? That's it. He's that guy. The picture from the chair. That's him. Did you realize that's him? Oh my gosh. Could we have your autograph? But rather, the reality of man is that he is connected to the Kisei HaKavod, meaning all the things Hashem does in the world, the Hashgacha he brings into the world, is for man. Man is beneath the Kisei, and the Malachim are only around. And so therefore, the Torah can only be given to a man, because only a man can do kindness with a fellow man, right? Can give tzedakah to another person, can sublimate his desires in order to serve Hashem. Only a man can change. Only a man can develop. Only a man can grow. That's exactly this idea. So when we say, when Chazal tell us, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, right? And oftentimes we take it to understand that each one of us is unique. Hashem created the world for each unique individual with his unique talents, but it means more than that. It means Bishvili Nivra Olam, the whole world was created for man, because man is the only entity that brings the world to its conclusion, to its completion. Only man can transcend and bring the world up together with him. So now, if we have this idea in Shabbos, we see this from the Maharal, this idea. We can take it back now and apply it to the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos that we looked at. Right? Go back. We'll just review the Mishnah quickly. The Mishnah says, "Im lamadat Torah harbe, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tachzik tova la'atzmecha, don't take any credit as though you've done something special. Lakach natzarta, that's what you were created for." The Maharal says that is your nature. That is to say, you were built to be a recipient of Torah, the same way you were built to eat, sleep, and breathe, because only you, as a man, are capable of being moral, of going from something lesser to something greater, changing and transforming. And so therefore, Torah should not feel like some major accomplishment. I learned a piece of Torah. Hooray for me. Pat on the back. Because that is the reason you're here in this world, is to learn a piece of Torah. Only you have the ability. Hashem created the entire world, the entire universe, so that you could be here and you can learn Torah and you can bring all these things out to fruition. That's the idea that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wants us to understand. Now, why is this idea so critical? Why is this idea so important? And this will bring us back to what we're doing on Shavuos, staying up all night, right? We ask the question, who are we fooling? Hashem knows that that's not how you act every other night of the year, unless you do. He just knows that about me. He knows that if I'm up that late on a normal night, I'm usually drooling all over my Gemara. So what's happening on Shavuos? So I think we can formulate an answer based on these ideas that generally we have a challenge. People have a challenge. People see the flesh and blood part of themselves, the flesh and blood part of their lives, and they don't see the part of themselves that is a vessel for absorbing Torah. People think that I'm here to work, I'm here to have parnasa, I'm here to take care of my family, and a thing that I do on the side is I learn Torah. That's also something that I try to do because that's also something that Hashem wants me to do. And now, while it's true that all of those things have to be done, a person has to make parnasa, a person has to feed his family, right? You don't do those things and you learn Torah. You have to do those things because Hashem wants you to learn Torah. It's the other way around. Hashem didn't bring you in this world to raise a family and make parnasa and all the things you do on a day-to-day basis and to do them in a rote way, get a passing grade. Hashem wanted you to be exceptional, to make parnasa in a way that all the people around you feel elevated and changed, for you to appreciate the value of yashrus, of being a straight and upright individual in your business dealings, to show people at work what it means to be a person who lives connected to Torah and mitzvahs. And the same thing with your family. And we have a problem of separating all these realities. And I also learned Torah. So the concept, we're putting it out there, of the night of Shavuos, why you stay up all night to learn, is to remind yourself, to get back into the waters, to remind yourself that you are a vessel for learning Torah. There's no more excuses. There's no more distractions. You're a natural. You are built to do this. You can swim in the sea of the Talmud. And we stay up all night to remind ourselves, you know what? If I was able to sit and take the time and focus, I could do this. I can learn Iyun. It might be hard work for me, but I can do it. I can learn Bikiyus. I can learn Halacha. I can learn with a Chavrusa. I can learn by myself when I don't have a Chavrusa. The night of Shavuos is an opportunity for a person to build himself into a vessel, remind himself that he is created for Torah. So Gershon, going back to this idea, Zman Matan Torateinu, Hashem's going to give the Torah. He's going to give it. It has nothing to do with what you did or didn't do. Hashem is giving us the Torah because that's what the world was created for. The question is, how much Torah can you receive? The reason our sages focused on the aspect of the giving is because as a person, as an Adam, you are shayich, you are fitting to have Torah. If you weren't, Hashem wouldn't give it to you. He doesn't give Torah to the ducks, and he doesn't give Torah to the lemurs, and he doesn't give Torah to the malachei hasharis, to the ministering angels. Because they are not shayach to Torah. They have no connection to Torah. You do. You were built and created for Torah. Okay, let's get into this idea maybe a little bit more, hopefully. We'll take another 10 minutes just because of all the technical difficulties at the beginning. Thank you all for your patience. And if you don't have patience, I'll forgive you if you have to go or if you want to go. But like this, we spoke about the Medrash in Shir HaShirim. You can see it yourself. It's in the first chapter or the first section, chapter 12, in the Medrash Shir HaShirim. What is the idea of the Jewish people sleeping on the night of receiving the Torah? We know that they were excited for Torah. As a matter of fact, it said that the sleep of Shavuos was the sweetest sleep that there is. It's a short night. Even the fleas didn't nibble on them on that night. Whatever all those ideas mean. When does a person fall asleep? When does a person stop being awake? Person goes into cruise control. Person goes into cruise control and he thinks there's nothing left for me to do. The Jewish people worked for 49 days. They knew that they're getting Torah no matter what. That is the sweetest sleep in the world. Do I deserve Torah? Am I fitting for Torah? I don't know. I just know Hashem said, come day 50, I'm getting Torah. Torah is mine. That's called coming into Matan Torah asleep. Hashem is giving me a Torah. What can I do? What can I do? And so therefore, the awakeness, the, gosh, there must be a better word than awakeness, the aliveness isn't much better, but that feeling of excitement, of being awake, of being alive, is comes from a recognition that I'm created for Torah, I'm a vessel for Torah. The more I'm aware and connected to that idea, the more I'm able to receive and connect to the idea of Torah. So that's how I want to answer our question. We certainly were not more excited about Torah than the generation of the desert. One advantage we have over them is that we have more distance from Hashem, right? They understood Hashem's giving them Torah, deserve it, don't deserve it, shayich, not shayich. Hashem's giving it. We know that if we stay up, we can work on developing ourselves to realizing that we have an actual connection to Torah. We are created to connect to Torah and therefore connect to more Torah. Another interesting idea, just to add on, the 3 days of Hagbalah, the 3 days of separation before Shavuos. This is a concept, I don't remember if I mentioned it during Purim or not. The Maharal mentions it over there in the Or Chadash, that anytime you see this idea of 3 days of waiting, actually very much this idea that we're speaking about, it's the ability for a person to have time to reflect, to weigh things on each side, to have clarity in the decision that they're making. That's why Avram gets reward for the 3 days of the Akedah, when he's just waiting to find the place, because that's the time where the decision comes from the truest place. It's not just something that happens, but rather Avram is making a choice to move forward with this thing. So too the 3 days of the fast of Esther, so too the 3 days before the receiving of the Torah. It's our time not just to have Torah happen to us, but to realize our place, to move forward and say, I am making a choice to become ready to receive the Torah that Hashem is giving me. Okay, so I think we'll just, one final idea to end it off on. I don't want to drag it out too long. An amazing shot in that from a Zohar that I heard from my Rebbe. I brought these verses too. If not, they're straightforward and easy to find in a Chumash, Parshas Yisro, the Parsha of Jethro, the Book of Exodus, Shmos, Chapter 19, verse 16. Vayi b'yom ha'shli, b'shlishi. I'm already starting to slur. It's getting late at night. B'yos ha'boker. Vayi kolos uvrakim. As the morning was approaching, there were sounds, and there was lightning. So thunder and lightning. Vanan kaved alahar. There was a thick, heavy cloud upon the mountain. The kol shofar chazak mode, a powerful shofar blast. V'yachad kol am asher b'machaneh, and the whole nation trembled. So the preamble to the giving of the Torah, to the 10 statements that Hashem makes to the Jewish people, is there has to be thunder and lightning. And there has to be a big cloud. And there has to be a big shofar blast. Okay? Rabbi Ostreicher, you have it clear, all the things we need to have in place to give the Torah. We have to have thunder and lightning. We have to have a cloud. We have to have a shofar. That's the setup. That's the preamble. Hashem gives the Torah, 10 commandments, 10 statements. Go to Shmos 2015, Exodus 2015. After the Ten Commandments have been given, B'kola'am ro'im et ha'kolot. There's a higher level transcendent experience. The nation sees the thunder. Right? We said the kolot above was the sound of the lightning. They see the thunder. They can see the sound. Ve'et halapidim, and the torches. Ve'et kol ha'shofar, and the sound of the shofar. Ve'et ahar ashan, and the big smoky mountain. You saw the difference, Rabbi Ostreicher? Saw what happened? Where'd the lightning go? Everything was there. The lightning's gone. It was thunder, lightning, cloud, shofar. And afterwards, they're seeing these things, experiencing them on a spiritual level. Thunder, torches, shofar, smoky mountain. Where did the torches come from? The lightning disappears, and suddenly we're talking about torches. This is the question the Zohar has. How come before it's lightning and after it's torches? An incredible pshat in the Zohar. Before Matan Torah, divine inspiration is a flash of lightning. It comes from above, it's here, it's gone. It's instantaneous, it disappears. You have nothing to do with it. You're not shayich. You can glimpse a greater vision in the moment and it flashes. Then it's over. After Matan Torah, the lightning becomes a lapid, becomes a torch. A torch is something you can harness. You can hold it in your hand. You can connect to it and use it to light up anywhere and everywhere you wish to point it and direct it. Matan Torah happens. God gives the Torah. The night of Shavuos is our opportunity to recognize that the Torah is something we can connect to and grab onto. We stay up to clarify that vision that us and Torah are like fish and water. We go together like ramalamalama kadingity dingadong. We're born for it. Sometimes you don't set aside the time and the energy to realize it. But Shavuos is a tzeret. It's a time of stopping and realizing what you have. A tzeret, by the way, that word, interesting machloket between Rashi and the Radak, and Sefer Malachim, whether a tzeret means to stop, or it comes from the word otzer, to gather up and collect. These 49 days have gone by. A tzeret is a time to reflect, to go through your treasure chest, to realize who you've become and how you've changed. So that's my thought, my approach to answer our questions from the beginning of the night. I think we answered them all about why they slept, why we don't sleep, why Chazal focus on the giving of the Torah as opposed to the receiving of the Torah or the learning of the Torah, because the concept of the night is the recognition that you are built to learn Torah. There's no exceptions. There's no person who has no connection who cannot connect with Torah. Torah is the ability to grow, to change, to transcend, and that is the actual nature of a human being. A human being who doesn't do those things is depressed because he is not acting like a human. Okay, so with that, I want to wrap it up and I will open it up for any questions.
I have to go, but I just wanted to thank you for being a torch for us in this darkness and giving us a little bit of light as we enter the holiday.
Well, Grishna, it's always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for snuggling up next to the fireplace with us. Any questions? Rabbi Astrak, I see you're talking, but I don't hear you. You have to unmute yourself.
So, okay. So they saw the lightning before, and then after they see the torches, they don't see the lightning.
Correct.
Am I right?
Correct. Okay.
And it's interesting, right? Because the Zohar says, come and see. And the Talmud tells us to come and listen.
Oh, the idea that the Tashma and Tachazi. Yeah. Okay. Good, because Shmi is a very different process, right?
Yeah.
It's about internalizing and reflecting mentally. Whereas Tachazi is a much more palpable experience of
visceral
searching out and trying to see something more viscerally. Yeah.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Any other questions before we wrap it up? Okay.
Chag Sameach to everybody.
Chag Sameach to everybody.
Chag Sameach.
Enjoy. And, of course, enjoy your cheesecake. And your sleep before and after Shavuos.